right, let's go. Peter Dave with us, Tuesdays, coming off that Alabama game. Dave, I did not think that would be close down the stretch. And I'm sitting there watching Alabama trying to get the time off the clock to get the heck out of there. What is being said about the Gators in that performance?
Got to get off to a faster start, Bill. You know, you play better in that first quarter. That game probably turns out a little bit different for Florida. But you get down 21-3. You can't spot Alabama 18 points and expect to come back to win the game. But Florida still had their chance in that one, even given that scenario there. That crowd was a heck of a difference. You know, you've been looking for environments like that ever since 2019 after the pandemic last year. You could definitely tell, you know, that was an environment that made a difference in that game for that comeback and helping hold Alabama in check just a bit as well. But, Florida probably should have started running the ball a little bit more. In the first quarter, they probably passed more than they should have, and I think they figured out along the way that it doesn't happen often, Bill, but they were beating Alabama up front. Florida outplayed Alabama for three quarters. You just got down so much in the first quarter. Another slow start for this Todd Grantham defense. But you rarely see a team go out there and beat Alabama up front on both sides of the ball starting that second quarter for Florida. So getting off to a better start probably makes a difference in that game, that Florida found something in that run game that they can probably rely on all season long. Emory Jones had the one interception, but he was able to play better than he did the first couple weeks, keep Florida in the game as well, a game plan built around his legs that helped this offense as well. Defense found some things starting in the second quarter, so definitely a performance to build off of, but the theme is no more victories there for Gainesville, for the Gators. You can take a lot from that. But there's a lot of things to work on at the same time for this Gators team. But, Bill, I think now the question is for Florida, does the ceiling of this Florida game change just a little bit after that performance on Saturday?
I've had a few people that were at that game say that's as loud as they've heard it in there in many, many years.
Yeah, but that was it was something to behold there, especially during that comeback there. In 2019, Auburn was another one too, just a couple years ago. But when Alabama comes to town, everybody's rearing and ready to go. So that it definitely made a difference. You could tell it did. Oh, you probably could tell on TV, but definitely in person there. I mean, it was loud, and it definitely affected what Alabama was trying to do. Credit to Bryce Young, too. I mean, for him to be in that environment, Alabama's quarterback, his first road start, communication was an issue there, but he didn't fold under the pressure there. Now, he didn't play as good as he did in the first quarter, and that had a lot to do with Florida, had a lot to do with the crowd as well. But, there was one pick that should have been thrown. Britton Cox, dropped a pretty easy interception right over the middle of the field. But as far as a young quarterback going into that type of environment, credit to him as well, because I can't imagine being out there on the field and having those 90,000 fans just screaming and as loud as it was there. But him and his first road start, credit to Alabama there too and their quarterback for getting their way through it.
What did you learn about Alabama in that ball game?
Bill, they had some questions up front, and if there was one advantage I thought Florida could have, and it ended up playing out, was Florida's defensive front versus the Alabama front, and it played out that way. Once Florida's defense settled down, their defensive line just took over. They dared Alabama to run. Florida was getting beat by the pass, getting beat in the flats in that first quarter, so Florida made some adjustments, maybe too little too late, but they've made some adjustments and dared Alabama to run the ball. Alabama ran right into it, and Florida's defensive line just took over in that game. So I think the biggest question for Alabama, especially on that right side of the offensive line, that's where they had their questions, that's where they had their issues, and it showed up versus Florida as well. So that offensive line, not as far as long, look, it wasn't going to be. That Alabama offensive line last year was something special with all the veterans they had up front there, but that was the big question there for them. And linebacker now, Henry Toa transfers in from Tennessee, and he Dan Mullen exposed him over and over again with that Florida rushing attack there. So maybe in the trenches for Alabama, they're still good, and they're still the best team in the country. But I think when you start looking at questions for Alabama and what they need to start working on, they got to get that offensive line in order and gelling. and then that front seven on defense as well. I think their defensive line is still pretty good, but Mullen did some things there to help expose those linebackers and up in the trenches. That's what I learned about Alabama, but still, they got the skill players, Bill. I mean, that first quarter, Florida had one-on-one matchups outside, just waiting to make a tackle. Alabama, yards after the catch, yards after contact. That was the big difference in the game in that first quarter, and that's what won Alabama the game.
Bama Mark says, Bill asked Gator Dave his thoughts about Mullen's adjustments. He says, I think Mullen always plays Bama well. He also did at Mississippi State. Most of those games with Mullen have been tight, he says.
Yeah, I think, you know, once they found out they could run the ball, Bill, I mean, Mullen, he didn't go away from it, and it made a big difference there. I mean, it didn't matter. You know, Florida had all three running backs doing some good things. Damian Pierce with a long, basically, 20-yard touchdown run. That was basically to bring the game within 2 points. Malik Davis averaged almost 9 yards a carry. Naquan Ryan, that 99-yard drive Florida had to score a touchdown, was the player of that drive. I think he had 75 yards or something on that drive, if I remember right. So you had all three running backs implemented into the game plan. And once they figured out that those running backs were a mismatch, and Florida's offensive line, I think, you know, we wondered, Bill, after those first couple games versus FAU and USF, we knew the run game was better. But now you had your first test, and could that translate over? And it did. So I think what you're seeing now is Mullen probably can make a little bit easier adjustments because this is the offense. This is his bread and butter. I mean, you had that Kyle Trask offense last year and that passing attack, and he was able to adjust to that. But this is the offense he knows. This is the offense that, I mean, he could call plays in his sleep with this type of offense. So now I just think, you know, the adjustments are easier. And he spoke on that a little bit yesterday. Even the coaching staff, you know, John Hevesy and Billy Gonzalez, they know this offense. They built this offense together. So now you know how your players can fit into this offense a little bit better than what you were running the last couple of years. So I expect, you know, better adjustments than you saw it against Alabama, but it's probably something you'll see all year with this Bam Mullen offense and those adjustments.
Gator Dave with us. We'll let you know how you can get the podcast called Gators Breakdown. It's Tennessee week. I guess the Vols need some kind of letdown here to have a chance.
That is the big question on the Florida side, too, is can you keep up what you put on the field last week versus Alabama? And you can't have a letdown. That's what you saw from Florida last year. You beat Georgia, and then the performances after that Georgia game last year weren't the best, weren't the greatest, and then you end up losing to LSU the week before you play Alabama last year. So you can't have the peaks and valleys that you had in 2020 translate into 2021, and it definitely starts this week with Tennessee coming to town. You know, good thing is that it's a night home game for Florida, so the crowd to be into it. I'm sure the players will feed off of that a little bit too, but it all come in preparation this week, Bill, and you can't sit there and lick your wounds all week from the Alabama game. It's time to flip the page, and you can take a lot from it. But you got to be ready to play. This up-tempo Vols offense there, you know, an up-tempo offense has given Todd Grant some trouble a whole lot since he's been at Florida. So that's something to look out for there. We'll see what Tennessee's quarterback situation holds. I know Heupel didn't say much on that yesterday as far as, you know, clearing any or naming a starter as far as this Florida game goes. So, something to look forward to. I know that Tennessee's competition hasn't been the best, but a pretty good run defense so far for Tennessee in their first three games. And after we saw what Florida did to Alabama in their first couple games this week, too, I think that's going to be the matchup to watch. I know that stat that was out there forever in this Florida-Tennessee matchup, the team that runs for the most yards ends up winning the game. It's kind of changed in today's college football with the passing attacks, but that probably will be something to look out for as far as continuing their rushing attack and see with the competition ramping up for Tennessee if their run defense still holds true.
I meant to say this earlier, but there was some questions about Emory Jones going into that Alabama game.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the mood's very good about him right now.
Yeah, Bill, amazing what a week can do. There was barely any questions about Anthony Richardson in yesterday's press conference after a somewhat good performance there from Emory Jones. And, Bill, you could tell. I mean, a much better game plan. Florida wasn't game planning for FAU and USF those first couple weeks, and I think that made a difference. They held Emory Jones into the pocket a little bit more, but this was the game you were going to see the offense unleashed, a better game plan, and they use Emory Jones' legs. I think that helped settle him down. He had some nice scrambles, some nice runs. That helped him get into the game a bit more. He did have that one interception, but it was either get rid of the ball or take a sack. He decided to get rid of the ball. He gets hit, ball floats just a little bit more than probably he wanted to, and that ball's picked off. But he didn't have those game-killing interceptions that you saw the first couple weeks there of throwing interceptions into the end zone and all that. He really cleaned up his game. Still got to work on the accuracy part. Still got to be a little more consistent in his game. But, you know, he was an asset for Florida versus Alabama, and I think you'll continue to see both quarterbacks get a whole lot of playing time moving forward.
Tell everybody how they can get the podcast, Gators Breakdown.
Yeah, Gators Breakdown at newsforjacks.com/GatorsBreakdown. Or your favorite podcast platform, YouTube version out there as well. Plenty of Florida, Bama post-game, and looking forward a little bit to what Florida can take away from that game as they move forward to Tennessee.
Dave, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Gators Breakdown is the podcast. Gator Dave is his name. He does a very good job. He's been with us for many